بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ألف لام ميم، ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه، صدق الله العظيم وصدق على رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Honorable ulama, respected Hufaz, elders and brothers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We begin with the praises of Allah Rabbul Alameen, that Allah who is mine and your soul sustainer, cherisher, nourisher and protector. May Allah's choicest salutations continue to descend and flow upon our noble master, our leader, our mentor, our teacher, our guide, Nabiya Pak Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Respected elders and friends, the month of August is recognized as Women's Month in South Africa. And in light of the growing rhetoric against Islam's views on gender, the object today is to highlight the role of women in Islam. And many of the points today is a prepared paper that was prepared by the United Ulama Council of South Africa in highlighting this important topic that always comes up generally in the month of August. I will try to elaborate and expand on whatever I can in this limited time of mine. In the introduction, let us understand that the year was 1848. 300 men and women gathered in New York at the Seneca Falls Convention Center. 300 men and women in 1848. What was the purpose of this gathering? What was the purpose of this convention? To challenge the dogmatic Western views that had suffocated the voices of women, stripping them of political agency, property rights, inheritance, etc. And they sought to advocate for a redefinition of gender roles. Many historians, when you study history and gender roles, many historians mark this convention and mark this conference as a pivotal moment, a turning point that ignited the first wave of feminism and paved the way for subsequent movements that followed thereafter. Yet, to suggest that the struggle for women's rights began in a vacuum in 1848 would be ludicrous and a disregard for a deeper truth. Like many resistance movements, it was born from the ashes of systematic oppression. So what truly sparked this sudden shift in gender dynamics in the West? And more importantly, what does Islam say? A faith that existed for centuries earlier. What does Islam say about the rights and the esteem status of women in Islam? My respected elders and friends, let's be honest. The topic of sex and gender have sparked global controversy and are a global lightning rod. Arguably, there are more views on gender and sex than there are people in the world. You'll find everybody has a view about it. Often, those who are passionately advocate for certain perspectives struggle to comprehend the nuances of their own views and opinions. As human beings, we are naturally wired with emotions, and we frequently allow our feelings to overrule our logic and cognition, shaping our views based on personal experiences or catchy anecdotes, with some unfortunately even attributing them to religion. And I can almost guarantee you, if you have to ask a Muslim brother or sister at work, or a Muslim brother and sister sitting next to you, with regard to his or her views on sex and gender, you would likely find differences from your very own. Like it or not, we all hold an opinion, deeply ingrained view on this topic. And that is why I want to begin this topic with a caveat and a strong encouragement. As seekers of truth, as individuals who come to the masjid for guidance and go to every other masjid on every Friday, my plea to you is simple. For the next 20 minutes, I urge you to suspend your preconceived notions, to subtract your emotions from the equation, to clear your mind, and most importantly, open your heart to guidance. Just as Allah-fearing can only be receptive to the Quran despite its flawless nature. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. Allah says this is a book, there's no doubt in it. Despite its flawless nature, so too can only a heart that is poised for reception truly arrive at the truth regarding complex and controversial subjects such as women's rights. Before going on, we need to understand what is subjective morality and what is objective morality. To answer the pivotal question of how Islam views the roles of females, we must first understand the lens through which Islam views the world. Before we even think of understanding how Islam views the role of women, we need to first understand how Islam views the world. For every human being, whether consciously or not, we operate within a worldview, a paradigm that shapes our understanding. Islam provides us with its own distinct lens, a comprehensive framework through which we examine every stimulus and ultimately arrive at the truth. This is the foundation upon which we evaluate everything. Consider this. How do we, as believers, definitely know that usurping someone's rights or someone's wealth is injustice? How do we determine that the actions of Jewish settlers laying claim to Palestinian land is morally reprehensible? As human beings, how do we establish that taking the life of a person without a Shari'i legal mandate is a grave transgression. How do we determine and how can we confidently assert that the Zionist state of Israel constitutes genocide? The answer for all these questions as believers is simple. We do not resort to mere logical arguments or subjective experiences to establish these truths. Instead, we return to the same untainted, unperverted, and divinely preserved sources, which is the Quran and the authentic prophetic traditions. These serve as our guiding light in every situation, providing the bedrock for every ruling and every moral judgment. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam powerfully emphasized this unequivocally, highlighting that our ultimate source of morality. He firmly established that a person will never be misguided as long as they hold on to this divine guidance and cling to its dictates. A hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, in which he mentions that the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya ayyuhan nas, inni qad taraktu feekum ma in i'tasamtum falan tadallu abada. Kitabullah wa sunnata nabi. This is the dictates that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu narrates, that our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that, O people, I leave behind you two things. If you hold firmly onto it, you will never go astray. That is the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This brings us to the core of our approach. If we seek to answer any question, particularly on a sensitive topic like gender roles, we must systematically review the Quran and Sunnah, analyze the question in the light of these foundational sources. Systematically and critically analyzing these sources requires not merely nitpicking a few isolated incidents within Islamic doctrine to establish a ruling that is based on preconceived notions. It means looking at the holistic corpus of Sharia and arriving at the conclusion that reconciles all of these sources. And this fundamentally is the distinguishing characteristic between a Muslim and a non-Muslim. It is not merely in your dress. It is not merely in your speech. Not even in your prayer. But it's in your outlook of life. While these outward expressions will align with Quran and Sunnah, the true difference lies in how much of your thinking aligns with Quran and Sunnah. Muslims believe and practice these things precisely because they are guided lens which dictates to them. And this leads us to the first and undeniable truth in our quest to understand gender roles in Islam. You with me, my respected elders and friends? I have given you the objective and subjective definition of morality. Morality is not subjective, or it is not determined by an individual or societal desires. It is divine and it is defined by Allah as deduced from divine revelation. So once you have this as your foundation, this brings me to my topic of Islam and women. We have established that as Muslims, our morality and views are shaped by the Quran and Sunnah. And if we want to look
how Islam views the roles of females and males and understand gender dynamics, then we revert to Quran and Sunnah. And the natural question then would follow is, how does Islam view the roles of females? While a detailed answer to this question remains out of the scope of today's talks, I would like to highlight a few important points. First and foremost, Allah dictates in numerous verses of the Quran that males and females are equal in the purpose of their creation. Both given an equal opportunity to earn His boundless love and mercy. Take for example in Surah Al-Hujurat, Allah Ta'ala clearly affirms binary gender based on genitalia, and immediately after that, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala categorically decides and declares that despite the inherent gender and ethnic differences, which may serve various purposes in this world and carry societal power dynamics, true status in His eyes lies in obedience to the divine. Ya ayyuhan nas, inna khalaqnakum min dhakari wa untha, we have created you from male and female, wa ja'alnakum shu'uba wa qabaila lita'arafu, and we have created within you tribes and nations so that you may recognize each other. This is societal differences, that to recognize each other. But inna akramakum indallahi atqakum, that the most valuable person in the eyes of Allah, whether he be male or whether she be female, is that person who is Allah conscious. So in another verse, Allah declares and corroborates this concept, stating that if a person does a righteous action, they will reap its rewards in this world and in the year after, no matter the gender. مَنْ عَمِنَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٍ, any person who does a good action, whether he be male or female, and he's a believer, Allah will give him a good life in this world and in the year after. In fact, during the lifetime of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his own esteemed wife, Umm Salama radiyallahu ta'ala anha, may Allah be pleased with her, relayed concerns about the status of woman with the natural and sincere desire for clarity. She observed that masculine pronouns were frequently used when describing virtues and rewards in the Quran. She approached our beloved Rasul to gain clarity as to why females are not mentioned. In response to this heartfelt inquiry, Allah Himself revealed verses clarifying that one's gender holds no bearing on their primary purpose or their spiritual standing in the sight of the Creator. This divine intervention directly addressed her concern, cementing the equal spiritual value of men and women. And if a female possesses the same potential to be a righteous individual, to cultivate a profound relationship with Allah Rabbul Alameen, then that blesses her with the greatest conceivable value. For Allah honors a life of every believer, regardless of their gender. He commands us to meticulously care for the rights of our fellow believers and never to harm them. Indeed, harming a friend of Allah, whether male or female, is akin to waging war on him. Now, my respected elders and friends, I have given you two things in my introduction. I have spoken to you about where we take our source from. I have spoken to you with regards to equality in the eyes of Allah when it comes to a person's relationship with Allah. Now the next important thing is, males and females are assigned distinct but equally valuable roles. Males and females are assigned distinct but equally valuable roles. And my time is up. You give me permission to continue next week? Inshallah. Your brothers give me the permission, inshallah. We'll continue next week and I will explain to you the distinctive roles. And also, I will tell you about the deleterious impact it has when we go against these roles. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us all alive till next week, inshallah, to benefit wa akhiru da'wana. الحمد لله الذي خلق وأبدع وأتقن كل شيء صنع سن الله الذي أتقن كل شيء إنه خبير بما تفعلون وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ذل كل شيء لعظمته وكبريائه وخضع وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله وهو خير نبي وأفضل متبع اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أهل التقى والورع أما بعد فيا عباد الله أوصيكم ونفسي المذنبة بتقوى الله عز وجل فإنها وسيلة لكل من رغب في عفو الله وطمع اعلموا أيها الحضور الإكرام أن الله أكرم النساء وأوجب علينا أن نعطيهن كامل حقوقهن ولهن مثل الذي عليهن بالمعروف وأمرنا كذلك أن نعاشروهن بالمعروف وآشروهن بالمعروف فإن كرهتموهن فعسى أن تكرهوا شيئا ويجعل الله فيه خيرا كثيرا وبين الله سبحانه في أكثر من موضع من كتابه أن الرجال والنساء متساوون في مسؤولياتهم تجاه ربهم من حيث التقرب إليه والحصول على مرضاته ونيل الثواب منه وليس جنس أمر معتبر في هذا أبدا قال الله تبارك وتعالى من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة ولنجزينهم أجرهم بأحسن ما كانوا يعملون وأوضح الله أيضا أن التقوى أهم وصف ينظر إليه يا أيها الناس إنا خلقناكم من ذكر وأنثى وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل لتعارفوا إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم إن الله عليم خبير وقال الحبيب المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما النساء شقائق الرجال وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام ووصف القرآن الكريم العلامة الزوجية بأجمل الأوصاف حيث قال هن لباس لكم وأنتم لباس لهن أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم
الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وأصحابه من نهج ونهج أما بعد فيا معشر المسلمين قال الله تبارك وتعالى مخبرا وآمرا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر رضي الله تعالى عنه وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه وأصدقهم حياء عثمان رضي الله تعالى عنه وأقضاهم علي رضي الله تعالى عنه وعن الصحابة كلهم أجمعين رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم وخير أمتي قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم عيسى الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم اجد الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر إخواننا في فلسطين وفي غزة وفي السودان وفي كشمير وفي كل مكان يا رب العالمين اللهم استر عوراتنا وآمن روعاتنا اللهم اغفر أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم ارحم أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم تجاوز عن أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وأدخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين اللهم ارحم موتانا وموتى المسلمين اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اغفر لنا وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله رب العالمين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم ودعوه يستجيب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقم الصلاة Brothers, let us ensure that our soft substrate, shoulder to shoulder with our heels in line. There's a lot of place in the masjid, at the back of the masjid, inshallah. Let us try to fill in all the gaps, stand as close as possible, inshallah, making sure that our heels in line. And whilst we're doing that, inshallah, today's collection will be our normal for the masjid and for the madrasa. Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us with such a beautiful masjid. There was an amazing thing that I read in the life of one of the elders, and he was giving advice at the time of his departure from this world, and he only mentioned three things. I'll tell you the other two that a person should try to strive to do on a continuous basis. And he mentioned that don't hurt anyone. That was the first thing he mentioned. Obedience to parents, take the du'as of your parents. And third thing that this pious person mentioned was, he said, always make sure that your hand is giving charity. Always make sure that your hand is spending in the path of Allah. And when you analyze these three beautiful advices, you come to the conclusion that these advices is nothing but the good of dunya and akhirah. Amazing. Don't hurt anyone. Obedience to parents. And give charity. Remember this. And you will see how beautiful your life will play out, inshallah. So spend in the path of Allah, inshallah Allah will give us more than we expect. Jazakallah.
Allahumma akbar, Allahumma akbar, Allahumma akbar, Allahumma akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح
لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله قام الصلاة قام الله
أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين
اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. والتين والزيتون وطور سينين وهذا البلد الأمين. لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون. فما يكذبك بعد بالدين؟ أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين؟
الله
سمع الله لمن حمده. الله الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد.
الله
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الله أكبر. استغفر الله. استغفر الله. استغفر الله. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. اللهم ألف بين قلوب المسلمين وأصلح ذات بينهم وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية. اللهم انصر المظلومين والمستضعفين في كل مكان هذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا. رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. جزى الله عنا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم. وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.